You know, yesterday at this time when I started the show, I was a little somber, was a little dejected, was a little, in my feelings, I would say a little bit. As you get that feeling inside of you of, when things start to compound and you have these losses and you see people leaving the program and you think to yourself, man, it's so over, it's so over. And sometimes you got to take a step back. And after the show yesterday, from the opening segment that we had on Tuesday, when it was the feeling of it's so over, well, after a while, there's this little voice inside of you. And you got to think, maybe it's not as bad as I once thought. Maybe it's not as bad as it's perceived at the time. So as you have the mounting, it's so over, washing over you, like the rain yesterday, as I drove in, was driving in this morning, and I thought to myself, is it truly so over? Was it really as bad as it seems? And in me, there was this voice that said, you know what? It's not over. We are so back. And we can be so back. Now, some things happened yesterday where you're like, man, I can't believe, maybe I can believe, a certain team lost or another guy's leaving the program of Wisconsin. But like AJ Storr, who is now testing the waters for the NBA. Remember when the Badgers didn't have AJ Storr? And then the transfer portal struck. Greg Gard found gold. We didn't quite know what we had coming from St. John's and Storr. And he got here, and my God, did he have some amazing and exciting dunks. Help upgrade this Badgers offense. And you look back like, man, that was a fun year of Storr. We'll see you later. But a fun year with Storr. Why can't that happen again in the transfer portal? I'm sure it will happen again in the transfer portal. We'll get another player, maybe two, to come in and make you jump off your couch and go, wow, did you see that? You got Freetag coming in. You got a lot to be happy about. Chucky Hepburn. He said this is not the last deal here from us in an emotional press conference, or in front of his locker room, I should say, after the game Friday. There's a lot to be happy about. So as Storr, didn't know what we had with him when he got in the transfer portal. You thought he'd be good. Could do that all over again. Someone could even be better. So from yesterday at this time, from it being so over, I had this feeling within me, a voice that kept chirping and getting louder as I drove into work. We are so back. We can be so back. Now, it could get worse. Like, if the people that want to fire Greg Gard, you could bring someone in, and all of a sudden you could end up like Michigan and Juwan Howard, who, by the way, has been fired. Michigan cratered out. When you think of them, you think of the historic basketball team. And now look at them. They're in shambles. The Badgers are consistently good. Consistently good. And we will remain consistently good. I'm not saying settle for mediocrity. But you got a talented roster coming back. You hit the transfer portal. We'll see what happens. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling like we could be so bad. And why not? Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Just yesterday when I started the show, kind of dejected. I wanted to redo it today. I wanted to say, you know what, the feeling of the five stages of grief. You go through them, you ride the wave of emotions, and eventually you gotta kick yourself in the ass and get out of the doldrums, if you will. Yesterday was in the doldrums. Probably was with the weather. A nicer drive in this morning, as you know, no rain and just sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, there's a lot to be happy about, okay? We can do this thing. There's no time to be sad. Get out of bed, Ebo. Kick yourself in the ass, and let's go attack the day. You're not pushing any daisies. You are good to go. All right, so yeah, AJ Storr. AJ Storr is all but gone from Wisconsin. He put to Instagram, social media, Twitter yesterday, He has declared for the NBA draft. Well, the draft process, he's going to go through it all. Has not hired an agent. So if you don't hire an agent, guess what? You can come back. You remain eligible for college sports, college basketball. So AJ Storr, he ain't coming back to the Badgers. Now, I know, here, I'll read his little note here that he penned here on social media. But from what I gather of it is, he's going to test the waters for the NBA draft. He's going to find out that he's a late second. Maybe some guys, I would assume most of the scouts and the people that do all the process will say, hey, Storr, you got talent, you got some ability, but you need to work on it. I assume when he goes through the draft process, that's a lot what he will be hearing is, hey, you got the intangibles, dude, but you got to work on it. You got to work on the craft. It would behoove you to go back to college for a year and up your draft stock. That's what I'm assuming is going to happen to AJ Storr. Awesome player. Really fun to watch. The dude can throw it down. The defense, we've seen it a little lacking. The three-point shot, a little lacking. Can he drive and get to the rack and, you know, create some jumpers? Yeah. Can he get there and throw down right or left hand? Hell yeah, we've seen that. But, you know, these guys are going to say, yo, dude, here it is. Here's what we think. Go work on it. And then he's going to come back to college basketball, and it's not going to be with the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm calling it right now. The year that we had with them, though, you know, amazing. It was fun. 6'7", 205-pound sophomore. Kind of was a revelation for the Badgers. 16.8 points per game he averaged, shooting 43.4% from the field. Now, stood out huge in the Big Ten tournament. That's where he averaged 22 points per game during that four-game stretch, hitting over 30% of his threes. And before that, lacking with the threes, but, you know, bumped it up a little bit. But, you know, this move is kind of expected from AJ Storr. We were talking about it yesterday, and, you know, even when the season was in full swing here, it's like, this guy, I think, is an NBA talent. Kind of in that late second, maybe undrafted, so see what happens. But yeah, going to go through the draft process and decide on his future from there after getting feedback from the next level. But, you know, by doing so with no agent, Storr's keeping the door open, college level. So I assume he's going to go back. But in his announcement, Storr did not say that he had entered the transfer portal. He did not say that he entered the transfer portal, which could have been an option to leave the door open for Wisconsin. But I'm taking this as leverage from another school to get a bag full of money for AJ Storr. Like, I heard right away, Illinois. Illinois wants to give him just a giant bag of cash to come on down and play in Champaign. I mean, Wisconsin's got cash, but, you know, AJ Storr's jumped around a bunch in high school. Some St. John's one year, then he's in Wisconsin. And then, what's the track record? You're jumping around, trying to find the best situation for you. So AJ Storr, maybe the best situation is somewhere, you know, Kansas. Heard that little rumor. Heard SEC, some SEC teams. That little rumor. Other SEC teams, that little rumor. So it's who's got the bag of money? AJ Storr, though. Here you go. To the incredible fans of the Wisconsin Badgers. As I sit down to write this message, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude for the University of Wisconsin. This journey as a student athlete has been one of the most profound experiences of my life. The unwavering support, guidance, and opportunities I've received from this community have been truly amazing. Joining this program under Coach Gard has been a dream come true. It's been a lifelong ambition to play basketball at the highest level. I find myself at a pivotal moment. And then it gets into bolder letters. I have decided to engage and experience the NBA draft process, all while maintaining my college ability. To my family, your unwavering support and encouragement helped me keep alive my dream of one day playing in the NBA. As I ponder this next step, I'm reminded of a quote from one of my favorite players, Kobe Bryant, which resonates deeply with me. The most important thing is to try to inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they want to do. My time here has been filled with moments of inspiration, thanks to you all. My aim has always been to inspire and be inspired, to push boundaries and to redefine limits, just as Kobe did throughout his career. The memories, lessons, and friendships I made here will forever be a part of who I am. Thank you, Badger Nation, for everything. With all my heart, AJ Storr, number two. So there is AJ Storr's letter. To me, it's saying, I ain't coming back to the Badgers. So I know, again, I know he didn't hire an agent. I know he's going to test the waters for the NBA draft. Sounds like to me the dude is gone from Wisconsin. So now you wonder what's going to happen next for the Badgers. A Sejan hit the transfer portal. Yeah, two other guys in Ross Candelino and Luke Hurdle, whatever. But Connor Sejan and AJ Storr have hit the transfer portal. Storr currently projected as a second-round pick, but you know, looking to be the first Badgers player selected since Johnny Davis went number 10 to the Wiz in the 2020 NBA draft. So there you go. AJ Storr, we'll see you later. See you, buddy. Now, I love the letters that the kids pen, especially, like, I get it, like, what he said in his made sense because he wants to go and play in the NBA, and he clearly can, potentially. So him saying, you know, I have decided to engage and experience the NBA draft process all while maintaining my college eligibility. The funniest thing to me is, like, Wisconsin football, when a kid hits the transfer portal, it's like he does this long sob letter thanking everyone and, you know, trusting God and his parents and this and that, yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, that being said, I will be taking my talents elsewhere. I will be hitting the transfer portal. It's always, that being said, I will now be leaving Wisconsin and taking my talents to insert team here. At least AJ Storr is like, I've decided to engage and experience the full NBA draft process. So be like, I'm taking my talents to the NBA. It's I love the letters that they pen. And some of the times you're like, from kids like, no offense, buddy, but who? Who are you? Well, it broke over the weekend last week, and then Shohei Ohtani met with the media a couple days ago through a new interpreter. Because his former interpreter and best friend apparently stole millions of dollars and also had to pay off gambling debts for an illegal California bookmaker.
Yeah, he's going to prison.
Yeah, that when the feds get involved, it gets pretty tough, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be a pretty good friend to fall on a sword like this.
Here's my question. Like, Shohei Ohtani, reading off notes for close to 12 minutes in front of a packed Dodgers interview room on Monday, said he never gambled on sports and did not instruct his former interpreter to wire money from his account to pay a bookmaker, $4.5 million. He said, quote, he's been stealing money from us and has told lies. Shohei Ohtani said while speaking through his new interpreter. Ohtani said, on a personal note, I'm very sad and shocked that someone who I've trusted has done this. Now, lifelong friends.
Yep. Known each other forever.
Forever. Shohei Ohtani obviously fired him as an interpreter, and I would imagine now he can't really be friends with him. Do you believe it? Now, Ohtani's not been accused of anything, but how does $4.5 million from his bank account get wired to pay off these gambling debts?
I do like this tweet from Andrew Brandt. Either Ohtani is not telling the truth, or he has the worst best friend, interpreter, accountant, manager, agent, and bank in history.
It's bizarre, isn't it? It's so bizarre. So Ohtani said, quote, through an interpreter again, I'd never bet on baseball or any other sport and never have asked someone to do that on my behalf. I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Like, does he just have so much money now, $700 million, a lot of it deferred, obviously. Does he just have so much money that he just never looks at his bank account?
Like, yeah.
Do you not notice that there's an amount of $4.5 million missing?
Or if it was a lump sum, doesn't your bank be like, hey.
We got a red flag here. There's $4.5 million being transferred.
Do you know about this?
Yeah.
So you do?
Ohtani's camp initially said that Ohtani transferred the funds to cover the debt.
Yep.
And now it's kind of been walked back. And now they're saying that Ohtani's been a victim of massive theft.
Yep.
So first it was Ohtani transferred. Now it's no. It's been massive theft for Shohei Ohtani. Again, lifelong friend. And with them translating for, you know, never.
it's very odd.
It's like, extremely odd. And this is the star man. This is the guy for Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, it's really one of those, you look at it and you could see both sides of it, but it just seems like his whole camp is lying out of their butt.
It kind of does seem that way.
Like,
okay, so let's say Tuesday night, Okay, here's Ohtani said media members reached out to a representative in my camp inquiring about my potential involvement in the sports betting. Never revealed to me that there was a media inquiry, Tuesday night, after Ohtani agreed to pay the debts, the two-way star logged onto his own computer and sent 8 or 9 transactions, all in increments of $500,000, to a Southern California bookmaker named Matthew Boyer over the course of several months last year, adding loan to the description field. Ohtani then said, Hold on, all of that has been a complete lie. I never did that.
That happened in one night?
Yeah, then he said, all of this is a lie. I never did that. It's a complete lie.
But, like, then who... That makes no sense.
I don't get it, dude. Well, again, Ohtani's not under any investigation or even accused of anything. He's not been accused of gambling at any point, and none of the bets were believed to have made been made on baseball. So if it were, though, he could potentially be banned for the sport for life. I don't understand how your best friend, your interpreter, how you don't know any of this.
Yeah, no,
especially when it's your bank account. And it doesn't make sense. Do you think... Here's the next question. So professional sports have linked up, like FanDuel, DraftKings. You got some NFL stadiums named after, like, you know, books, casinos in Vegas.
Yeah.
You got, you know, people presented by DraftKings, presented by FanDuel. Hell, on ESPN, you have the ticker of the spread,
yeah,
over-unders.
Well, now in the NBA, you have guys betting on their...
And then there's that. I was getting to that, too.
Yeah.
And now in the NBA, you got dudes aren't now under investigation from the league. Of one man in particular, what, the guy from the Raptors, as he's in trouble now, as there's big time bets on his over-unders prop numbers.
Yeah.
And now they took him off, you know, the roster for the time being, and he's being investigated.
Like, here's the thing, though. Like, this probably has been a problem, but when you really only have certain places bets can be placed.
Cover just called in. I hit the wrong button. Call back in.
When you can have bets only be placed in certain places, like Vegas, Atlantic City, like Indian casinos, things like that. Now that stuff is being a little more open and places are opening up and you're geolocating things,
mm-hmm,
like people are starting to see, like, the Alabama baseball coach.
Yeah.
Who was... People were making bets on Alabama baseball in Ohio. I don't know what kind of casino or book that was, if it was a new one, if it had been an established one, but, like, you're seeing more and more of it pop up. I'm guessing prior to this, it was happening. It's just a lot more under the table. And
oh, yeah.
We weren't noticing it because you can't geolocate somebody being like, oh, there was a bet placed at this time on a phone that wasn't this person's, but it's kind of odd that it's in the same area and bet on his unders and he got sick in the middle of a game.
Yeah, Jontay Porter for the Raptors. He is now prop betting irregularities around the Raptors and Jontay Porter. The issue of prop bets involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th. At least one other U.S. sportsbook detected unusual betting interest on Porter props and games in question, and he was the biggest. There's large amounts bet on his props, and they're big-time winners, and sportsbooks were like, this is odd. And the NBA is like, this is odd. And now he's under investigation. And then I'm going to do this. This is going to open up some worms here, and I like this.
Ooh, I like worms.
The Shohei Ohtani, obviously his translator and friend, has now fallen on the sword. Maybe it's his own doing. Maybe Ohtani's involved, but Ohtani's not, you know, accused of anything. But the moment that Major League Baseball started taking gambling money is the moment that Pete Rose should be let into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's the exact moment we're like, all right, Pete, here you go. It's time.
But, like, he bet on baseball.
Yep.
If Shohei didn't.
But baseball itself now is in bed with gambling money.
Yeah.
The moment that happened.
Every sports league is.
You should have opened the door for Pete Rose and be like, all right, welcome into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like,
we're sorry.
No brainer.
We're sorry.
You don't even got to apologize. Be like, hey, you know, we're in bed with him now. Well, we're not going to apologize, but now you're in.
They're like, we get it.
Yeah, we get it. The money is alluring. Like, we love it. Welcome into the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose was probably like, dude, you mean to tell me I just should have had an interpreter back in the day? Yeah. I could have this guy fall on the sword. I'd be in the Hall of Fame.
He is in the WWE Hall of Fame. So he's got that.
He's got that going for him. Yeah, line one, good morning.
Well, you just kind of hit at a point I was going to make.
Well, make it, Fuller. Make it, Fulldog.
If I was a professional athlete, let me tell you right now, my brother would have residency in Las Vegas.
Right?
Let me spell it out for you people. Ohtani was making bets, and his best friend is helping him out by going to prison for him.
He's like, hey, I'll give you a nice, comfortable nest egg when you're out.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, not that Ohtani would have gone to prison. Well, I don't know about the whole legal booking thing, but they would rather say that this guy stole millions of dollars from Ohtani and him go to prison than Ohtani get his reputation tarnished at all.
Yeah.
This is a total Major League Baseball thing, 100%.
Yeah.
I think Rob Manfred wrote a script for everybody to say, honestly. It is hilarious. Who has $5 in their bank account and doesn't know when it goes missing?
Right.
Let alone $4.5 million. I mean, my bank, I don't know about most people, my bank like gives me a limit of a couple thousand dollars of you can take out in a week or a day or whatever it is. You don't think the people with millions can just go willy-nilly grabbing $4 million here and $10 million there and without approving it?
Well, the report did say chunks of $500,000, so maybe like, that's the limit for the bank.
Eight or nine increments
with.
Of $500,000. Oh, that's fine.
In the same
that's
day.
Twice as much as they, that's twice as much as the bank would insure.
Dude, I mean, look, go back to the steroid era, Fuller. They protected those guys as hard as they could for the longest time until they couldn't anymore. Because of why? They were making money hand over fist over them.
Until their eyeballs are about to pop out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's baffling. I mean, I don't blame them. I'm a degenerate. If I was a professional, if I was a professional athlete, I guarantee you I'd have somebody placing bets for me.
Yeah.
So I guess good on him. He's smart. Maybe next time just have him do it in Vegas instead of doing it with an illegal bookie.
No kidding. Hey, what did Chris Carter say to the rookies years ago? You got to have a fall guy. If you don't have a fall guy, you're the fall guy. You got to have a fall guy. Shohei Ohtani's like, hey, dude, you're just my interpreter. I know you're my friend lifelong. Guess what? You're falling on the sword.
Yeah, probably the only guy. I mean, don't you think he'd have found somebody that wasn't employed by the team, though?
I mean, do you think, like, what if he didn't do, what if he had no knowledge of it? There's no way, though. Yeah. There's no way.
There's no way. There's no way somebody's making $500,000 transfers in the bank and not getting notified.
Yeah.
You can't pull money out without them. You know, if you pull out a large sum for us, which we call it like, you know, 20 grand, if you were to pull that out, you have to wait multiple days to sign paperwork and for them to get the money in before they would actually give it to you. Not like you can just walk into a bank and walk out with $500,000, or they're going to just transfer it without knocking on your door first. Well, I mean, what is he doing? Venmo charges at $500,000? I don't think so.
Hey, Fuller, spot on, dude. I got to ask you though, as a big Brewers fan, you are 77.5 is where it's settled
over,
there for. Here you go. What's your prediction? What's your prediction?
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like 90, but over 500.
So dude, like 83?
Call it 80, 88. They're going to squeak in as a wild card.
How do you think about the frontline pitching?
I think it's better than people think it is. I mean, I think from what all indications are, Colin Ray is a better version of Colin Ray, which call it what you will, but you know, guy won them some games last year.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is if they can get 12 to 14 wins out of Freddie Peralta, I think they're going to be in a pretty good, comfortable spot. The difference is everybody, he's got to remember, he had like a 3.5 ERA or something like that last year, and he was like 500. That's because he'd lose games 3-1.
Yeah, there's no offense.
I don't think this team is going to have an offensive problem. As long as they stay healthy, they're going to mash the ball.
Yeah. We'll strap in tomorrow, baby, because it starts, all right?
I've been strapped in since Friday at about 10:45.
Been a baby.
Been baseball season ever since.
Been a baby. Florida, we love you, bud. You're the man.
Yeah, see you, boys.
See you, buddy.
Wonder what Friday at 10:45 at...
I know he was in Vegas. I don't know if he was making bets on it.
No, it was because the Badger game ended.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been in baseball.
P.M. Line 2, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Mickey, what's going on?
Did you already block out Friday, Ebo?
Yeah, kind of. I tried to. Yesterday, I was down in the dumps thinking about it, and I tried to block it out again. It comes in waves. It comes in waves.
Selective amnesia.
Yeah. I try to catch amnesia once in a while about certain things. Badger basketball is one of them.
You know, about the Otani thing, I don't find it surprising that someone he trusts stole that much money from him. We're not talking about, to put it in context, $4.5 million to Otani is like $4.50 over the course of a year.
Yeah,
for
I know,
normal people.
And when you got a camp of people, and this happens a lot in the NBA too, where guys that just aren't, like, all of a sudden they make it rich, you know, and you got a camp full of people that are always digging in your pockets, like, you, some of those guys don't even pay attention to where their money's going.
No, it's like, hey, man, can you approve this? It's, you're getting a one-time code to your phone. It's like, okay, done. I just did it with my husband.
Well, half of that's yours anyways, Mickey. Come on.
Oh, I'm not talking about money. It was just for something else. Oh. I make my own.
She makes her own.
Hell yeah. Self-made woman. They're self-made.
She's the one who had him sign the prenup.
Yeah, there you go, Mickey.
Nah, it's true. There's no prenup in true love.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. There's a guy who has true love, too, I feel you.
No, I mean, this guy lied about lied about the college he went to, never went there.
Yep.
Lied about working for the Red Sox, never happened. My question is, what are the Dodgers doing? Why aren't you doing a background check on the guy who's surrounding your once-in-a-lifetime?
Well, Tani seems like this such, like, nice, like, upstanding, like, can do no wrong, like, maybe walks on water. Maybe they just took him at his word.
Okay.
You
know? Like, hey, seems like a good guy.
This guy wakes up, breathes baseball, puts in his whatever. He comes home, does baseball. He has food on the table. Do you think he's shopping? Do you think he's looking at his Venmo to see how much money he has left to get his groceries and whatnot and pay attention to his
bank
account?
He recently married a lady, and now she can't testify against him.
That's true. He can't do that in court. Well, I don't have that amount of money, and if I did, I feel like I look at it every day to be like, hell yeah,
And all of a sudden, you're just like, whoa!
I'd wake up and look at my bank account. I'd go to bed and look at my bank account before I went to sleep. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, baby.
Did you see that the guy, someone in New Jersey won the Mega Millions, $1.13 billion? I know.
At least it wasn't California
yesterday.
At least it wasn't. It always seems to be California.
Yeah,
at least
it seems to be on a stretch lately. Yeah.
I know, Powerball tonight. So go get your ticket.
Yeah, I got to do that so I can wake up and look at my bank account and be like, hell yeah.
No, this is so funny to me because it's like, you know, let's talk to our DraftKings sponsored reporter about this betonetimeonly.com presentation on ESPN, brought to you by some gambling organization.com. How could this have happened?
The hypocrisy, the irony in the hypocrisy is amazing. Like, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I've been saying this for a while. I'm sure there's a bunch of athletes with, like, cold wallets of Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
They have got to be betting. There's no freaking way they're not.
Yeah.
By the way, Bitcoin booming.
Again?
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I look at every day going, oh, hey, there you go.
My Dogecoin's booming, too. My Dogecoin's going, baby. Let's
go. Still at Dogecoin?
I never left. I got Dogecoin at 0.00008 or something like that.
Oh, Diamond Hands.
And I do look at that. I'm like,
what's it up to now?
Well, last I looked, it was 18 cents. I think I went down 17 again. Like, come on, baby, let's go to the moon. Yeah. Anyways, Mickey, anything else before I let you go?
Oh, yeah. Someone called about women's sports earlier this morning.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry they showed you their ankle. Jeez. Oh, how dare they be like men?
I was like, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I said I was a Caitlin Clark hater before, but it's not because she's aggressive on the court. I want her to be aggressive all the time. That's why I'm a hater. I'm like, don't come off the court and be all, pretend to be nice. Just be that evil person all the time.
Yeah, don't shove someone and then cry foul.
Evil
you know?
Person.
Yeah, yeah.
Time.
Own it.
Yeah, own it. Mickey, you're the best.
Women's sports are tough. They're tough.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know, you lose hair, you lose skin, you get scratched up. It's brutal. I don't think people understand how much adrenaline and fierceness women's sports have.
I'm
sure a lot of people do, except that guy who called in to say...
Yeah, that's Polly.
Oh, I can't believe she flexed like a man. You're not a man.
That's Polly. He said he's going to call in tomorrow to clarify, so get ready for that one.
He might be calling in again now that you called
in. No, he said he messaged me. He's like, I'm going to call in tomorrow to clarify.
Oh.
I'm like, all right.
Here's what I'm going to do, what he could have done while watching women's sports. Not listen to him. So
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Mickey, you're the best. We love
Change
you.
Change the channel, dude.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
See you, Mickey. See you.
It's one button away.
Bye, guys.
There's people up in arms over social media. Social media, everyone's always up in arms. Thee who whine congregate here online to whine and bitch and moan about literally everything. Yeah, NFL fans, you know, people online. Caleb Williams, the number one draft pick coming up. Bears set on him, as it seems. You know, Eberflus and Poles, they're at his pro day. You know, Keenan Allen, new Chicago Bear at his pro day, dapping him up, watching him, you know, bop down 70-yard passes like it's nothing. But, you know, Caleb Williams at a basketball game. Lip gloss on, painted fingernails, pink phone case. People are losing their minds over it. It's funny. You know, again, the Gen Zs, social norms are out the window. Like, it's a brave new world, if you will. And Caleb Williams, RJ, before he left, he's like, hey, here's a conspiracy theory for you. He's doing all that to make sure the Bears don't draft him. He doesn't fit into that, you know, that bear down culture for the Bears. Well, Ryan Poles, the Bears GM, was on the Pat McAfee show. I'm going to play this clip yesterday. Poles was talking about Caleb Williams. So you'll hear Pat, and then you'll hear Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, talk. Here you go.
Williams, number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
You did it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Woo! You did it. Okay, so that is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because every report that comes out about you guys and Caleb, or Caleb's pro day, or you guys dapping up at the pro day, or having dinner at the pro day, and meeting him with his teammates and everything, everybody's like, okay, Chicago Bears fans are like, our guy is our guy. As this process has gone on,
yep,
with your research into Caleb, what have you learned about him that you've loved? And what do you think people maybe had a misconception of him, or maybe you had a misconception of him going into the entire process?
Yeah, what makes it interesting is he's probably the biggest NIL football player to come through the process.
Ever.
And so you have to kind of break that down, because usually that's not the case. And, you know, you want to know, does he have humility? You know, can he self-assess and say, you know, I'll take ownership of what he needs to continue to work on and improve? And he's checked all of those boxes so far. So I've been encouraged, you know, with the time that we've spent with him, the things that we've learned in terms of, does he fit our culture, and can he be a guy that helps take the Chicago Bears to the next level?
Do you hate the fact that it's like such a matter of fact that he's going? Because like when I was with the Colts, mm-hmm, when Andrew Luck was coming out, yep, Andrew Luck took a visit to Washington because they had the number two pick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in the building, whenever he was taking his visit to the Colts and said he had to go to Washington next, we're all like, yep, worth it.
Yeah,
completely worth it. Does it suck that you potentially have like next to no leverage with the number one pick because everybody seemingly knows exactly what you're doing? Or is it great because there's a guy that everybody assumes
should
be the number one overall pick?
I think it's year to year. But when you have pretty good clarity, it really doesn't make a difference.
So there you go. I mean, Paul's talking about, you know, can he be a guy that, you know, accepts failure and can put the blame on him and not pass it off on other people and be a malcontent in the locker room? Well, you're going to see it with Caleb Williams. When USC was losing some games, what was he doing? He was talking about he'd turn on Netflix and he'd cuddle with his dog and he'd cry. You know, later in the stands crying on his mom's shoulder. You know, he's such a unique individual in the aspect of the NIL money they're just talking about, you know, the most money ever made for NIL. You know, the rumors are out there about him not wanting to go to the Chicago Bears. His camp didn't like it. Before that, it was he wanted ownership of a team. And then what, like Robert Griffin III was talking about, you know, don't play for the Bears, do what Eli Manning did and say no to the Chargers. The Chargers then, you know, did a trade with the Giants. Like, the Bears have, and this is everyone saying this about Caleb Williams, literally every scout, every draft, you know, wonk out there, all the dudes grinding on the mock drafts in their mom's basement, This is the can't-miss prospect. This is the guy who is clear-cut head and shoulders in any other quarterback in the draft. He is the best player. You have to take him. The Bears aren't trading up. They have the number one pick. They're assembling something there with their roster. And, I mean, it's got to be the pick. And if the Bears do it, which I think we all assume they're going to, because why wouldn't they? They need a quarterback. Justin Fields now backing up Russell Wilson with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to pull the trigger. You got to draft number one. And that's, you know, you're hoping to be your quarterback of the future for the Chicago Bears. And the Bears hope that can run the North and see what happens from there. Hell, that. I mean, Keenan Allen's a nice piece. DeAndre Swift, that's a nice piece for the Bears. Can Caleb Williams be that guy? He's such a polarizing figure because he gets all the money, the most ever for NIL. And then he's such a unique individual in the aspect of, you know, the social norm thing. He doesn't care. Like, yeah, he's got a pink phone case. Yeah, he's wearing lip gloss. Yeah, he's got painted fingernails. Like, I saw people just gripping about it online. But if he truly can play, then like that goes all out the window. But if he's a bust, if he can't play, then the floodgates are open to rag on not only him, but the Chicago Bears, whether you like it or not. Like, that's just how it works. Let's see here. Some people saying, X-Ray Punk, Caleb Williams will be a bust. Book it. Mike from Portage, Caleb Williams is weak in the mind. I don't know. Can you say he's weak in the mind? I mean, the dude's out there taking all the slings and the arrows and getting made fun of for, well, you know, how he dresses and what he wears, blah, 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 what he does. And he's living his best life. I think he's got some mental fortitude and able to do all that. And then he's, you know, performing at, you know, USC didn't have a good defense, but the dude is unbelievable at throwing the rock. Pro day is a pro day, but he was out there just slinging it. And the Bears, are they building something? Are they going to be, you know, how are they going to fare with Caleb Williams? That's the big question. Feeling pretty good about the Green Bay Packers. Feeling damn good about the Green Bay Packers. Does Jordan love that guy? Looks like he is. Can the Lions duplicate what they did last season? And, you know, Dan Campbell, when they lost to the Niners in the NFC Championship game, said it'd be twice as hard to get back to that point. You know, but they got a really good roster. They got a hell of a coach in Dan Campbell. Rob Reichel last week, what did he say? That if the Lions want to improve, they need to get rid of Dan Campbell and find another coach. That was one of the boldest takes I think I've ever heard Robbie say. I don't agree with it at all. I don't think anyone does. Like, I got Vagabond John calling in and ragging on him. And then you look at the Minnesota Vikings. What's going on there? Sam Darnold. You're going to be drafting a quarterback. They made a little move 2 weeks ago with the Texans to get more draft capital. Trade up and try to get a quarterback, obviously. Speaking of NFC Commanders, we talked about this yesterday. They're hot on J.J. McCarthy being the second overall pick. What? Is that a smokescreen? But on the NFC North specifically, I mean, can the Bears finally find their quarterback? The track record would say that they'll draft a quarterback, and here's what will happen with the Bears. They'll still suck. It's the Happy Schnapps combo. They wrote a song about it. One of the best songs ever, and it's Polka. The Bears still suck. Can Caleb Williams take them to the next level? Well, we're going to find out coming up here. The draft, you know, upcoming, still what, about a month away. So we're creeping closer and closer. But the Caleb Williams conversation now just is taking another turn, and it is oh so hilarious with people losing their minds and gripping over a guy. Again, it's funny. Don't get me wrong. It's funny, especially when, you know, you think of football and what football is. You know, the American modern day gladiators going out there and just lopping each other's heads off. But now the NFL is making it harder for defense with all the rule changes coming in. Now the kickoff change as well. So, I mean, it's more geared towards offense. But, you know, we'll see. Do you think Caleb Williams will be a bust, just what you see right now? Is it because you're clouded? The judgment is with, again, lip gloss and fingernail polish and a pink phone case? All right, 608-321-1670. We'll get to the Packers. Mark Murphy is going to be in a war here, kind of, a negotiating war with the mayor of Green Bay. We'll get the comments from Mark Murphy coming up here. As Lambeau Field and the lease, uh-oh. And Simon from Orlando, Brian Gutekunst also speaking with the media. Matt LaFleur as well. Packers looking like they're pretty set. And Packers making a move yesterday. We'll have to get to that as well. Bucks, they fall in double overtime to the Lakers, gave up a 19-point lead in the first and the fourth quarter to a LeBron-less team. And opening day tomorrow, would love to know your season prediction for the Milwaukee Brewers. Vegas has the over-under at 77.5 is where it settled. We've had a lowest of 74. We've had a 78. We had an 83. And we've had a high of 92 for the Milwaukee Brewers. But yeah, tomorrow at 12:10 out in New York, 162 games get underway. Mark Murphy just commenting about the lease for Lambeau Field with the mayor of Green Bay. But Murphy also was talking about a couple other things. Now, there's the new kickoff formation rules, right? Keyshawn Nixon licking his lips over it. He's like, hell yeah, let's go. I'm ready to take this thing to the house. Call me Trick Daddy, man. Take it to the house. Well, it passed, but one of the teams that voted against it was the Green Bay Packers, and this was after they gave Keyshawn a bag of money. Mark Murphy was talking about why they voted against it, though. Here's the Packers president and CEO. Take a listen. Maybe. Here you go. Take a listen.
The kickoff? Yeah. Our issue was that it's such a major change. Our thought was it would make sense really to have maybe as a trial or experiment in the preseason to see what. There's going to be some unintended consequences, I think, and I just felt that it made sense to have a trial. That said, it passed. I think it was overwhelming. It was like 29-3. We'll be very supportive of it, and we do. We have one of the better kick returners in the league, so we'll put that to our advantage.
Mark Murphy's freaking laughing. Yeah, so too much of a change, says Mark Murphy. Well, it's implemented now. It's ready to go. It passed, 29-3? Again, the Packers, it needed the proposal needs approval of 24 of the 32 owners to pass, 29-3, so it gets it done. The new realignment rules represent a huge change in years. It's designed to reverse more than a decade of declining return rates while also lowering concussion rates. So in essence, the format will move the majority of the kicking and returns downfield to minimize the high-speed collisions. They call it the suicide squad for a reason out there for special teams. And it will go into effect for 1 year only in anticipation of possible tweaks over the time. So kickers will continue to kick from that 35-yard line, but the other 10 players on the kickoff team, they line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line, and at least 9 members of the return team will line up in a, quote, setup zone. That's between the 35 and the 30-yard lines, and up to 2 returners can line up in a landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line. No other than the kicker and returners can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player inside of that landing zone. Another tweak, too, is like you can only do onside kicks if you're losing and in the fourth quarter and there's no surprises. You have to alert the officials and the team that you're doing it. But Keyshawn Nixon was like all about it. If you were following along on Twitter, he was like, let's go, tweeting all kinds of memes about him just salivating, ready to just return some. But yeah, Mark Murphy was talking about it's too drastic of a change. It's too much of a change. Even though we gave money to Keyshawn Nixon, maybe a little tweak, a little here, a little tweak there. But no, Packers vote against it, but don't come up with the votes to be the side of the nays. I love it. If you watch the XFL does it. It's cool. This is going to add another element to the Green Bay Packers and special teams. And Keyshawn Nixon, damn good at what he does. Now, when he first came on the scene, Rich Bisaccia finally got, was like, hey, let's do this thing halfway through the season. And he was electric. Now, Keyshawn Nixon still led the NFL in return yards last year. But, it was a little left to be desired. Sometimes, he was kind of forcing the issue. But this year, coming up, you're going to be freaking awesome, man. Let's see here. Some comments here. Mark Murphy, Badger Trio said, F Mark Murphy, dude needs to stop opening up his mouth. More so on the stadium side of things, saying that stadium thing needs to stay behind closed doors. He did the same thing with Rodgers of opening up his mouth. We'll get to the Brazil game coming up here at the top of the hour. But Murphy was talking about Brazil. And no, he's not going to go get a BBL. I think those days have passed, Mark Murphy. No BBL for him, the Brazilian butt lift. No. Apparently, you can get him cheap down there. But don't get him in Mexico, by the way. They put you like cement filler and caulk in there. And then all of a sudden, you might die. So careful with your BBLs. But Mark Murphy talking about Brazil. So the Eagles, they're going to be opening up the NFL season on Peacock, the cock. And it's down to two teams who will take on the Eagles in Brazil. One's the Browns. The other is the Green Bay Packers. Mark Murphy, we heard from him about, you know, why the Packers vetoed and didn't want to have the new kickoff rules. They still passed, though. They're in the minority. But Mark Murphy talking about, you know, Brazil, they hope to learn the future if the Packers or Browns will face the Eagles in Brazil week one. Here's Murphy talking about it.
I anticipate probably within the week we'll find out. So it's either us or Cleveland. If they choose us, we'll welcome it. I think it'd be exciting. You know, it'd be the first game ever in Brazil, and it could be exciting, but want to make sure that we're, you know, some of those things are worked out.
Packers, it's going to be the Packers, and I'll tell you why right here. Some numbers out there. Corey and Marshall sent this to me. I was on it too, Corey. Thanks for the text. This is per the NFL. Brazil has 38 million American football fans. And per NFL Brazil, 12.5% of their fans support the Packers. Brazil has the biggest contingency of all NFL fans back the Packers. We had this, God, about a month or so ago when this news was coming out. But 12.5% of their fans in NFL Brazil support the Green Bay Packers. And if you put those numbers together, that's 4.8 million Packer fans that live in Brazil. The population of Wisconsin is 5.7 million. So 4.8 million Packer fans reside in Brazil by the numbers of 12.5% of their fans who of the 38 million that like American football support the Packers. So again, 4.8 million Packer fans in Brazil. And again, the population of Wisconsin is 5.7 million. It's going to be the Green Bay Packers. You're not sending the Cleveland Browns down there, especially with Deshaun Watson, who's going to be like, man, they're a little more loose with their morals here in Brazil. What can I do? You're not going to send Deshaun Watson down there with a tiny little towel trying to get massages down there in Brazil. It's not happening. It's already a black eye for the NFL. They don't like it, and rightfully so. It's going to be the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers will be going to Brazil. The question then is, are you going to go? Do you want to go? Do you want to go to São Paulo and get it going on the beaches of Brazil and watch the Green Bay Packers take on the Philadelphia Eagles? And by the way, it's on Peacock. So if you want to get the cock, you want to get Peacock, feel free, because that's where the Packers are going to be on week one. If not, maybe start saving your money now to go down to Brazil and party your ass off. So there you go. If it was, I got Badger Trio saying, oh, too bad it's week one, not in the winter. Yeah, you could swing a little vacation here in Wisconsin and be like, yeah, later in the season, maybe, you know, in December, we can have, take the family down to Brazil, have a little Christmas trip. You know, go see the sights and sounds and then watch an NFL game, the first ever be a part of history in Brazil. Well, no. Week one. Packers, I'm calling it now, going to be on the road. You know, Mark Murphy says it'll be about a week until they figure it all out, see what's going on. All right, speaking of Mark Murphy, he was also talking, besides, you know, in the fight with the mayor, with the lease for Green Bay, also was talking about, you know, what is he seeing on tape? Or what did Matt LaFleur see on tape, I should say, with Xavier McKinney coming in. So Matt LaFleur also down there, you know, rubbing elbows. So Murphy's handling the business side of things. Matt LaFleur's talking about X's and O's. You know, Xavier McKinney coming in. Hell, Vagabond John, he just called in around 8:30, 8:20. He's like, what? Which side of the ball is the biggest question coming into the season? And for me, without hesitation, it was the defense. You know, you got a new DC who's never been a DC before in the NFL, coming from Boston College, and Jeff Hafley. He was a DB's coach for a couple stints before, you know, at BC. And Matt LaFleur's like, you know what, dude? I like the cut of your jib. I want you. You got a good look to you. You kind of sound like me. I'll bring you on in. And then, you know, the defense. So you got the question marks of the new DC. It's always been the question for the Packers. Like, can that defense, you know, hang with everyone in the NFL? Vagabond John called in. He's like, well, they addressed their biggest need. They got the safety of Xavier McKinney. Matt LaFleur was talking about Xavier McKinney and what he's seeing on tape, what he likes about him, you know, with the New York Giants, now with the Green Bay Packers. Here's Matt LaFleur on what they see on tape of their new safety, their crown jewel, their prize piece here from free agency. Here's LaFleur.
I love just his ability to make plays on the ball. I think you saw it in particular. Two plays that stick out to me were in that Philly game where he makes an unbelievable interception on the sidelines. And then the very next play, they try to run a screen and he dissects the screen and jumps in front and picks off the ball, like back-to-back two interceptions.
So there's LaFleur, you know, breaking down the tape, saying this is what I like about him. And also, who else do they get? Josh Jacobs. You know, Aaron Jones now part of the Minnesota Vikings. Tough to see him in that purple sombrero. Tough to see him doing the skull chant. Kind of like a knife to the heart a little bit. But Josh Jacobs coming in. I mean, Josh Jacobs, he met the media, what, 2 weeks ago, saying, you know, I'm not trying to replace Aaron Jones. He's a legend for all us younger running backs. We're just trying to uphold the standard of the Green Bay Packers and what they put out there. Matt LaFleur is talking. He's very eager for Josh Jacobs to get underway here because they're going to be using him in multiple ways.
Matt LaFleur. I think when you look at his body of work, his play style, his running style, you know, I think he'll excel whether we run outside zone, the gap schemes, he's been super productive with. And I think, like I was telling these guys earlier, I think there's some things that we can do with him in the pass game as well, you know, kind of get him out of the backfield. I think there's more to him in that regard.
So there's LaFleur on Josh Jacobs. Also, don't forget A.J. Dillon. Signing a cheap little deal to stay with the Green Bay Packers. The mayor of Door County, no term limits, baby, as A.J. Dillon is back. It's not moving the needle one way or the other. He's consistent. He's solid. Reliable. He can get you a couple of yards when needed with those big old quads of his. So you got the 1-2 punch going down right there. I might get a carbless here. You got the 1-2 punch of Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon. Sorry to. You want to come on air? No? Just going to hand me a carbless? Thanks, Hannah. Wow. Didn't in and out of the studio. Just got a carbless. Didn't want to come back on air. Wow. All right. I'm going to try some carbless here. The lemon lime, baby. That's how you... That's what you had to do for breakfast right there, a lemon-lime carbless. That right there, my friends, 100 calories, zero sugar, zero carbs. Carbless, a league of its own. Hannah came on a couple weeks ago and absolutely flamed out. So she is gun-shy now, mic-shy of jumping on, but did hand me a carbless. Mm. And sometimes watching the Green Bay Packers, you had to kind of drink a little bit, especially when Anders Carlson got out there. You weren't sure what was going to happen. Is this guy going to miss an extra point? You know, shank a field goal? Is he going to be the demise of the Green Bay Packers? You know, Mason Crosby once held that flame of being that constant outside of that 1 year when they messed with his money, then he came back with the golden leg. Anders Carlson, Packers draft him. And I know Rob Reichel was tuning in when he would call in, I should say. He's like, dude, the Packers got to do something. The Packers got to do something. We can't have a liability at kicker. Go get somebody. Get something. Well, there's competition now coming in for Anders Carlson. Usually this is reversed. Like Aaron Jones going to the Vikings. Or former Packers, you know, when their time is up with Green Bay, they go to the Vikings. Vikings love the scraps of the Green Bay Packers. Well, coming in, actually, this is kind of a good move. I like the competition for Anders Carlson. Make him shake a little bit. The Green Bay Packers have signed Greg Joseph, who kicked for the Minnesota Vikings the past three seasons. Holds a couple NFL records. NFL record for game winners in a season, 5 of them. The Vikings record for longest field goal, 61 yards, and led the NFL in touchback percentage in 2021. So the Green Bay Packers bringing in competition for Anders Carlson. Apparently he had a lot of other interests around the league, but he liked the opportunity in Green Bay. So there you go. He's getting a little 1 year deal to come to the Green Bay Packers. Say hello to a new kicker, a 1 year deal worth up to $1.25 million for Greg Joseph. Honestly, I like it. Packers needed that. Anders Carlson was at times a liability out there. Again, you had to drink a little extra when he was out there kicking. And thinking of just Anders Carlson, need another sip of carbless here. Mm. Delicious. So, yeah, liking the move. Vikings fans weren't too happy about it either. Going to the enemy. Like, hey, you can have Aaron Jones, I guess. We'll take your kicker, though, and Greg Joseph. Now the question is Anders Carlson job safe? You would think no, as Craig Joseph's got a pretty good leg on him. Vikings fans upset. You know, people chiming in now on the Twitch channel, Anders Carlson cost us the 49ers game. I mean, I wouldn't disagree. Anders Carlson was a liability out there, and when the brights got a little lighter, the dude started shaking. So, Greg Joseph in. NFL record for game winners in a season, that's at 5. That's what I'm talking about.